Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
Yes. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Are you ready to jump into Romans, Portland Christian Center? Yes, it's going to be an amazing time, and I have brought some amazing people up here, no strangers to Portland Christian Center, Bob and Anita Vinci. Aren't you glad they're here? And, you know, we're going to do something a little unique, not just going through Romans for the summer, we're going to go through the whole book of Romans. And it was funny, I was talking to somebody in the lobby, and they said that they just finished Acts yesterday, and they're ready for Romans today. And I thought, man, what a perfect time. Well, one of the things that we're going to do is we are going to read through the book, the first chapter of Romans, Romans 1. Before we preach, we're doing anything else. We believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And there's just something powerful that happens when the Word of God is read out loud. And so I thought, how fun it would be to have different people in the congregation read a chapter before we start the sermon. Isn't that great? So I thought, as a way to honor God's word, if you're able to, would you stand with us and we're going to read it? If you're not able, that's okay. But if you're able, just stand in honor of God's word. And Bob and Anita, they're going to read and then they're going to pray for us before we get started today. So take it away, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel has promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as his human nature was a descendant of David and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what was known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God then gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts, help us to receive, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and may we receive everything that you have for us today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We can clap for that. Amen. Thank you, Bob and Anita. Did you know what we just did is exactly how the people in Rome, the Christians in Rome, would have received the letter from Paul? Someone would have got up and read it for everyone to hear and understand. And I think sometimes it's so important for us to pause and just read God's word. If there's anything that I want you to hear from me today, is that it's simply this: the power of God is what brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm going to try that one more time. The power of God is what brings salvation to everyone who believes. The power of God is revealed. Come on. It is revealed by His word. I can preach the best message in the world, and it still fails to compare to the greatness of the word of God. It's His word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And my prayer for all of us as we go through Romans this next few months is that we would have foundational theology built on Christ, built on the word of God. Because here's what I know: right living requires right believing. And if you don't have the right knowledge, the right information, how can you have the right beliefs and how can you have the right way to live? You see, today we're going to go through Romans, and I am so excited about it because I believe God's going to set some people free. I believe God is going to help all of us build our lives on a foundation that is firm, that is strong, and that will speak the truth in love. Amen? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready. Romans is so important. Why is Romans so important? The letter to Romans stands as the clearest and most systematic presentation of Christian doctrine in all of Scripture. Paul writes this, and you can look at commentary after commentary, and everyone points to, if you want to start out your salvation, start out your Christian walk, if you want to understand what it looks like from start to finish, start in Romans. It's an amazing book that will build your theology on a firm foundation. But the next question we've got to ask before we go too much further is, where are we in history? This book was written a couple thousand years ago. So it's important, as we've kind of gone through some things in the world over the last 2,000 plus years, some things have changed. And so we need to find out, When was this written? It was written in AD 57, and Paul writes this in Corinth. So if you look at the map up there, you'll see that little, right in the middle, it's right there, it says Corinth, and if you go up to the left, you will see Rome. And right off at the beginning of the letter, Paul's saying, I want to go to you. I hear such great things about you. Why does he want to go? Because he wants to mutually encourage them, and he wants to be encouraged himself. Now, what's interesting is the Roman Emperor Nero is not quite 16 years old when he takes over at this time in Rome. And just a few years later, Nero is about to blame Christians for burning down most of Rome, which we know they did not do. And that became the huge persecution of Christians. But just before this, there's a relative time of peace. Things are not great, but things are not awful, and there's not this heavy persecution of just killing Christians and hanging them. But Paul's writing this letter, and he says something that's so important, that's foundational. If you want to be a believer that follows God, that is doing the right things, you must first look at verse 1 where he says, Paul, a servant. A servant. Many people here that have studied scriptures, you know what that Greek word is. It's doulos. And I want to read you exactly what it says, to be owned by someone for a lifetime. As great as that is, and you're going to find this in Romans, Paul's going to say things that will offend you. Oftentimes things are offensive in scripture because it reveals your heart. What are you really going after? What do you really care about? Because when we live in America, and I am so thankful to be in America, I just got back from camping. It was America, but it was rough. In a tent, in the dirt. In fact, my boys, they loved it. I don't know what it is about young boys, but we went to bed last night, and Tate, right before he went to bed, he said, Dad, I want to go back to the tents. And I said, son, I want to get in my bed. I enjoy a nice, soft mattress. Amen. Anybody else with me on that? And as much as I'm so grateful for America, and I am, please don't hear that any other way, and I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in America. With as much freedom as we have, so many people have chosen slavery through their sin. You see, the truth is you will serve a master. You just have to choose which master you will serve. And when you serve God, the foundation of coming to Christ means that you have laid down your life. You have laid down your direction. You said, Jesus, you are King, you are Lord. And Paul is modeling for everybody else exactly what Jesus taught his disciples, which was this. Among you, if you're my disciple, it will be different. The rest of the world, they want to get to the top in the kingdom of God. It's actually an upside down kingdom. The greatest among you will be what? The servants or the least. And so one of the things we must ask ourselves as Christians, as people who follow God, as many of you here in this room, as you're listening and as you're online, welcome by the way, am I a servant of God? Have I laid down my control? Have I given everything back to him? And Paul is saying, Paul, as a servant of God, as a slave of God, some translations say. That should sink in. That should go deep. Because so many people, I see this, and it even happens in my life. When I have an opportunity to stand up and tell the truth about who Christ is, I'll even hear people in coffee shops, when it gets to talking about God, sometimes they whisper. They're afraid that they're going to stir the pot. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid they're going to say something. And Paul says this, Romans 1, 16 through 17. This is the core verse of the passage. For I am not ashamed. Is there anybody else in the room that's not ashamed? I'll see you at Starbucks. We'll say it together really loud. I am not ashamed. There we go. I am not ashamed of what? The gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then to the Gentile, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by their own strength, by their own power, by doing it right every time, by being perfect. Well, how do we live? By faith. Whether we want to admit it or not, all of us must come to Jesus the same way. Humble. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us come the same way saying, Father, forgive me. You are King. Forgive me for trying to be Lord. Forgive me for trying to be in control. Forgive me for trying to do it my own way. Why? Because the power of God, and this is the big idea if you're taking notes one more time, the power of God is what brings salvation to everyone who believes. Paul is trying to tell all of us at the beginning of his letter, and he calls himself an apostle. He's sent. He's trying to get it through to everybody that it's not your righteousness that saved you. It is not your goodness. It's not all those things. It's faith in God from first to last. And I want to illustrate it to you this way. When I was growing up, there was a lake in Auburn, Washington called Lake Taps. It's a man-made lake. They cut a bunch of stumps, filled it up with water, and so every year it would drain and fill up, and the water, especially at the beginning of the year in May and June, was cold, ice cold. And my family, my great uncle, he had a dock on the water. That's all that was there, just a dock and some land. But as a kid, it was just the best. So my parents would come, and one time there was a group of us, my brother and three other boys. We went on the dock, and I'm going to change one of the boys' name because he's still alive and I don't want to embarrass him. We'll call him Stevie. That wasn't his name, but we'll just call him Stevie. Stevie was the youngest of the crew, and he could not swim. And so we're on this dock. It's about 15 feet deep of water, and we're getting ready to go swim. It's hot. We're excited. Have you ever told your kids, don't go in the water just yet? And what do they want to do? Get in the water. Most of the time, we're trying to get sunscreen on them as fast as possible. And they're like, no. They're fighting and they're screaming. Well, we're kind of fighting it. And so all five of us are on this dock, and we are just ready to jump in. And the dad of Stevie says, hey, boys, nobody's allowed to swim right now. Nobody. I have to go help put things away. Wait till I get back. I'll be the first to admit, confession time, I jumped in. As soon as he got out the dock, I mean, my brother, we just start swimming. We're having a great time, and he's running around trying to get things ready. Stevie's standing on the edge. He's not going in. And out of nowhere, his older brother pushed him in the water. And Stevie begins splashing around. And as a young boy, I'm looking down and I'm frozen with fear. I can swim, but I don't help him. And all four of the boys are staring and watching Stevie drowning right before our eyes. And he's trying to gasp from air, he's splashing and he's screaming, I can't swim. And the waters are breaking in. And I remember this moment so vividly as a kid, and I'm frozen with fear. And I'm thinking, I'm about to watch somebody drown before my eyes. And we're watching it, and I remember he takes one last gulp and he starts sinking. And just as he starts to sink, we see this huge arm just go boom right into the water, grab him by the shorts and pull him right out of the water just like this. His dad saved his life. And in one motion, he grabbed Stevie and grabbed the boy who pushed him in the water by the shorts as well and carried them both back to the campsite. One got something and someone got another thing. The reason I tell you that story is because that's what sin does to all of us. While we were dead in our sins, Christ died for you and for me. We must come back and recognize that when Jesus was in heaven, he was up there and God sent his one and only son. He plunged down to earth for you and for me so that you can have eternal life with him forever. Did Stevie save himself? Of course not. Of course not. But for some reason, the moment we start getting back on the dock and on dry land, don't we think we can do it on our own? Don't we think that we can somehow pull it off? But I want to tell you today, the gospel is being declared, I believe, powerfully and clearly, and this is what I want you to hear. The gospel call, I only have time for two things for you this morning if you're taking notes. Number one, the gospel call is this, to obey Christ. To obey Christ. Verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without what? Excuse. Excuse. What excuse do we have to not obey Christ? I want that to sink in. Because if you're like me, I can give you a lot of excuses. The way I was raised, my lack of opportunity, the place that I grew up, the friends that I had, the wrong school, the wrong Bible teacher, the wrong translation. But isn't it true if we get really honest, the biggest excuse we really have is that I just plain out didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to go my way because I thought it was right. Isn't Proverbs so true where it says that the way that a man goes seems right to him? Of course it seems right to you. It's your idea. And yet, Paul is saying so clearly, and I want to go back to that story and pull out some more truth that it is this, that to obey is always the first step into the kingdom of God. Because on that dock that day, Stevie's brother was not the only one who was causing a problem. You know who was also causing a problem? Thank you. Someone said me. Yes, it was me. And here's what we have to remember. Everybody's watching you. The things that you say, the things that you do. And Paul just listed this amazing thing of all of the sins that are available. And did you see what else he said? That their sins actually, they invented new ways of sinning. Their minds became so depraved, so dark, that the Bible says in Romans, we just read it, that God turned them over, released them. They kept choosing over here. He said, you know what? You chose all those things. That's the way that it's going to be for you. And we have to remember, we have no excuse because of God's creation. And what he says is they turn to worshiping the creation rather than creator. What is it in your life that is a good thing that has become a God thing? When it becomes a God thing, you've just jumped in the lake and you're drowning whether you know it or not. One of the scariest places to be is to be a person that thinks that they're alive and that they're doing okay, but inside they're drowning. Because they live in sin and it's dark, it's hidden, and it's all about them. And they won't ever tell you the truth. They won't ever tell you what's really going on. They have this whole other life, and I've seen it time and time again, being a pastor's kid, seeing these people on Sunday morning, and they look like they got everything together. And then we talk to their family at home, and it's a mess. Nothing goes home. You know what Paul would say? You're drowning. The gospel has been preached. Jesus has reached down. And here's the problem. Because we go our own way, he may have saved you from drowning once, but you go back in and you drown again. He saves you again. You go back and you drown again. He saves. This happens over and over and over. Paul even addresses, he says, the things I don't want to do, I do. It's time that we become authentic believers who say, you know what? If it's not by the grace of God, I'm not here. If it's not by his power, there's no way that I could even stand. If it's not by his love and his grace, there's no way that I could have the life that I have. So what happens when we live our lives out of obedience? It's called freedom. True freedom. Not freedom where you say, hey, I got all together, leave me alone, but freedom where you say, hey, I know where I've been. I know where I've come from. And by the grace of God, I'm still standing. He's with me. He's for me. So who can be against me? I have power. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the righteousness of God in me that sets the captives free. You see, when you come alive, going to Starbucks is not getting just a latte and a frappuccino and something else. It's a mission. I am not ashamed. Almost every Wednesday for the last 3 months, me and two other guys get there and we read the Bible out loud and we do our life journals. We pray for each other and we share life. Why? Because the gospel's got to get out of these walls. People have to see it in us. That's the obedience. Paul is saying, I am not ashamed to take the gospel everywhere because Christ has called me and compelled me by his love to get that same love out there. Why is Paul so demonstrative about it? Because of what he was saved from. He was down the road killing Christians to all of a sudden being the greatest proponent of the faith and writing a book called Romans. That's why he preaches the gospel. So the first call to the gospel is this, is obedience. And I want to challenge you, read through Romans 1 one more time this afternoon and ask yourself, is there one of those sins that I am saying it's okay to? Gossip? See, it's really easy to bash some of the ones like sexual immorality or homosexuality or things like that. Oh yeah, those are awful sins. Blah, blah, blah. But did you see the rest of that list? There are so many different things that Paul says, and what he's trying to get us to say is when you disobey, your spiritual man inside is beginning to decay and die. It's like going back in the water. So the first thing that the gospel call says is, are you going to obey? My dad used to say that all the time before we would, my brother and I would look at each other, and he says, you have a choice, boys, obey or obey. I'm like, well, those are my choices? But that's really what the gospel's saying. It's your chance, your call. You get to choose to obey. And when you obey, it actually says something really powerful about the gospel and about your life. Here's what it says. Number two is that you trust Christ. That you trust him from first to last. Verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Tell last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. You know, when my friend Stevie got pulled out, he never looked at his dad and said, boy, we did it together, didn't we? Pretty impressive how good I let you pull me out of the water. But isn't it true that there are things that come out of our mouths that if someone else is watching, they might be thinking, are you the Savior or is Jesus the Savior? I did all this for God. I did that for God. I read my Bible 732 times last year. I did this. I performed 72 miracles. I did all of these things. And yes, we want to celebrate advancing the kingdom. Of course we do. But what happens when it becomes so built up that that righteousness, all of a sudden people are looking at you instead of Jesus? Is that really why we're doing all of this? Is that really why we would come to church? No, my life, may I become less, as John said, and maybe he become greater. What I'm really trying to say is, do you trust Christ in your obedience because the results are up to him? As you obey, you trust that he will work it out for your good and for those around you. I want to read this quote by Martin Luther. It says this, we are saved by faith alone, But the faith that saves us is never alone. It brings about grateful, joyful, trusting obedience. Grateful, joyful, trusting obedience. That picture of obedience is what I'm praying for every single one of us. That we'd be grateful, joyful, and that we would trust Him as we obey. As we obey. And what I want all of us to understand, and as I've been praying about this message and getting ready for today, is that there is a battle for your soul and your heart today. There's a battle, and it looks like obedience. It looks like surrender. Paul is not playing games. He's praying that he could go and preach the gospel. And you know what happens when he finally gets there? He starts a riot. He's just telling people about God, and next thing you know, he's been put in chains. All these things happen to him. Why? He can't help it. He's unashamed. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I wish I got that right 100% of the time. But just last week, I blew it. I was at Starbucks in Fred Meyer. There's a lady in front of me, and her debit card was getting declined. And I watched her kind of going through her purse. She didn't have the money, so I just said, hey, can I pay for you? And instantly the Holy Spirit was telling me, say to her, you did this in Jesus' name. And as I paid for it, I turned to her and I started to see her. You know how you can tell people are starting to well up with tears? I think she was embarrassed. And I looked at her and she said, it's all right. The cell phone wasn't on then either. That's all right. But I looked at her. And I knew that she was embarrassed. And as I'm about to say, in the name of Jesus, the cashier said, hey, you want something? Listen to your drink like this. And then she walked away. And I knew I missed my moment. I missed my moment. And I asked God, please forgive me. You see, it's really easy to say I'm unashamed. But when you have those moments of obedience, we need to step out, don't we? We need to be bold. We need to be courageous. We need to not hold back. Because I didn't buy her coffee for me. I bought it in the name of Jesus. It was not about me. It was to point people to Christ. You see, today there are really two different types of people that I want you to ask yourself, is this me today? Number one, am I drowning in my sin? Am I drowning in the sin that I chose? And the second camp is this. I'm a victim. I'm like Stevie. You see, there are people here, maybe online, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit would show me, there are people here that somebody else has pushed you in. Somebody else has hurt you. Somebody else has lied about you. Somebody else has done something wicked and evil to you. And here's the lie the enemy wants you to believe. Because someone else caused you to drown, you will always stay drowning. The power of the gospel is no matter how you found yourself in your sin, Christ died for you and he has the power to save you and to transform your life. Just because you are a victim today does not mean you have to be a victim forever. You can be victorious. And I've been praying and believing all week that there will be people that have the courage enough to say, that's me. I'm drowning. I'm drowning in my sin. I'm tired of playing the game. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of being, as I'm reading Romans, I'm realizing Paul is speaking directly to me through the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that my life is drowning. If that's you today, I lovingly say the gospel is for you. It's an announcement. It's a declaration of freedom. Do not let the pride of your life hold you back from receiving the freedom found only in Jesus Christ. It is the power of God. From first to last, it's all because of Him. If I could have the worship team go ahead and come up, we're going to get ready to worship Jesus. And I want to ask you just point blankly, if you're here today, and there is sin in your life, whether you chose to or whether you were a victim of sin, today's your day of salvation. Today's your day of freedom. Today's your day of healing. So the first one, there's disobedience in your life, which, by the way, when we disobey, we're saying we don't trust God. How do I know that? Because when I sin, I'm saying it's my way. I can do this my way. I know what's best for me. I know what I really want, what I really need. And that's one of the most dangerous places to be. Trusting God that he's got you, that he's with you, and that he can set you free. If I could have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. This is a holy moment. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is moving and speaking to some of us today. If you're here this morning, and you would just be completely honest, Pastor Nate, I'm drowning in sin. I am drowning in sin. Just like that boy Stevie. God's maybe pulled me up too many times to count, but I'm drowning today. I want you to know that by faith, he can reach down and pull you out today. There's freedom today. There's freedom in Christ for you today. Will you trust God? Will you obey God? Today is your day of salvation, your day of freedom. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you that you would be set free. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. See that hand. Lots of hands are going up all over. Yep, lots of hands. Thank you. Yeah, I see you in the balcony. Lots of hands in the balcony. Yep. Absolutely. Anybody else? Just say, Pastor Nate, I need prayer. Lift your hand. I want prayer. Yep. I see those hands in the back. Thank you. More hands are going up. I need prayer, God. Forgive me. Yeah, I see that hand way back there. Thank you. Anybody else? Just saying, Pastor Nate, I need prayer. Yeah, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Those hands everywhere. Yes, I need prayer. Thank you. I see that hand in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. There's lots of hands going up. I think it'd be powerful if we all stood together. Just keep your eyes closed. It's a holy moment between you and the Father. Would everyone repeat after me? Jesus, forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and make me clean. I put my trust and my confidence in you. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And today I begin anew. I surrender my life to you. I'm going to obey. And I'm going to trust. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have the prayer partners go ahead and come on down. As we get ready to close today, I want to give you a few minutes with the Holy Spirit. Would you just spend time with the Holy Spirit for a moment? And I believe that there are people that need to come down and receive prayer today. I believe there's going to be healing. We've already been seeing God heal people. But one of the things I just believe that God wants to do is to heal some hearts today. I believe as I was praying that there are people, God was showing me, my heart was just broken this week because there are people here that you're the victim and you've chosen to stay a victim. But that's not what Christ died to do for you. He died so that you could become victorious. He wants you to be victorious. And I want to encourage you, maybe your first step of courage to be set free is getting out of your seat and coming to one of these people that are prayer partners that are trusted, that love you. They want to pray with you and see the chains be broken off in Jesus' name. Because that's what Jesus came to do. One thing I'm going to promise you, as some of you get ready to come down in just a moment, at Portland Christian Center, we're not going to candy coat sin. We're not going to say it's just a bad idea or a bad thought or oopsies. How many know an oopsie will never set you free? Until you realize what your sin did, you will never go to the cross for salvation. Did we not hear what Romans said? It is the wrath of God being poured out. There is justification and righteousness in the hand of God that is coming out against sin. This is your chance to be set free. This is your chance to experience what God has done. And I just want to invite you, come down and lay your life before God and say, I want to be healed. I want to be free. Transform and change me today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do. Convict our hearts, transform our lives, and empower us to live our lives in obedience and trust towards you, because we are saved by faith from first to last. It's through you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.